Of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. My dearly beloved, we have today this gospel from the 24th chapter of St. Matthew of the prediction of our Lord of the end of time and his second coming. Now, this fact, the second coming of Christ, the general judgment, is something that is mentioned very often in Scripture. In fact, quite a few of the prophets of the Old Testament make references to it. And it certainly shall be something to behold. Our Lord gives us in today's Gospel, as do other quotations of Scripture, many signs by which that second coming will be recognized. It will not take place until first the faith has been spread throughout the world, and it would seem that the faith has been preached throughout the world by now. Also, a sign that shall precede the second coming of our Lord will be the conversion of the Jewish people as a nation, not just certain individuals, as we have seen, but rather as a body, as a nation. Also, the return of Enoch and Elias, two holy men of the Old Testament who did not die. And according to prophecy, they will return to the earth, they will preach the faith, and then will be martyred. Also, St. Paul tells us that the day of the Lord will not come until the apostasy comes first, the great falling away. And I believe that that is something we are seeing before us today, something that is ongoing and has been taking place over the last several decades. Also, of course, the reign of Antichrist will take place before the general judgment. Interestingly, the fathers of the church teach that the reign of Antichrist will take place, will be for 3.5 years. And of course, the Antichrist will mimic our Lord, and our Lord's public life was about 3.5 years in length. And so that the Antichrist will reign for 3.5 years, and then he will be defeated by Saint Michael, he will be cast into hell. According to tradition, the Antichrist will come from the tribe of Dan, one of the 12 tribes of Israel, and will not be a demon or a movement, but rather will be an individual, a human being, who will oppose all that is of God. Also, before the end of time, there will be a great perturbation of nature, a general convulsion of nature. Now, we have experienced, and we hear it on the news, that there is a great earthquake here or there, or a volcano, or a tsunami, or some sort of natural disaster, flooding, and so forth. But we are talking here about a general convulsion of nature universally, and that will be so stupendous that will be a very clear sign to those who are alive at that time that the second coming of our Lord is about to take place. There will also be a universal conflagration, and in fact, that is how time will come to an end, and that those who are alive will perish in that conflagration. It will not destroy the earth, but rather there will be a new earth after this conflagration. And then the trumpet will sound. As we read in today's gospel, there will be the resurrection of the dead. We profess our faith in that doctrine every time we say the Apostles' Creed. At the end of the Apostles' Creed, we say, I believe in the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. So that the bodies of all of those who have ever lived will rise from the dead, will be reconstituted and reunited to their souls, and then all of mankind will appear before our Divine Lord to be judged. We also profess our faith in that in the Apostles' Creed. When we say that our Lord rose from the dead and he ascended into heaven, we say, from thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. What do we mean by the living and the dead? It means those who are alive on the last day and then perish in the fire on that day, as well as those who are already deceased who have ever lived. That all human beings will be brought before our Lord to be judged. And where will this judgment take place? Some of the fathers say that it will be in the air, above the earth. Others take literally the quotation from Joel the prophet, one of the prophets of the Old Testament, that it will take place in the Valley of Josaphat, which is a valley outside the city of Jerusalem. At any rate, it will be a judgment of all mankind, so that every human being will be gathered there together before our Lord the Judge. Now, some of the fathers of the church say that this judgment will take place without words, because you can think to yourself, well, if it's all mankind and our Lord has to judge everyone, won't that take a long time? But these fathers say that by divine illumination, every individual will recognize his sins, his state of soul, and that of everyone else. And everyone will be forced to acknowledge the perfect justice and goodness of Almighty God, even in the damnation of those who are lost. It will be very clear that God gave them opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. So many graces, so many inspirations, calling them, urging them to amend. And so the general judgment will be for the purpose of acknowledging and making clear the perfect goodness and justice of God. All of God's works are perfect. And so it would not be right for there only to be the particular judgment, which we know when we die, we will be judged individually at that very moment. And that the general judgment will not change the sentence that is passed upon each individual at his particular judgment, but rather it will be for the purpose of a public acknowledgement of God's absolute perfection and fairness and justice and mercy and goodness. Because very often in this world, the wicked seem to have the upper hand. They seem to get away with things. The innocent often suffer. And so justice will be done, and that will be seen at the general judgment. And one last sign that is mentioned in today's gospel is that at the resurrection, everyone will look up and will see the sign of the Son of Man in the heavens. And of course, that is the sign of the cross. They will look up and they will see the sign of the cross in the sky. And that will be for those who have lived, according to Christ's teaching, a sign of joy, a consolation, an encouragement. But for those who have rejected the cross, those who have rejected God's commandments, they will see the sign of the cross and they will tremble. And as Scripture says, they will cry out for the mountains to fall upon them and cover them from the wrath of God. So it certainly will be a magnificent thing to see. And our Lord himself spoke about this. In the Old Testament, we see many prophecies. But our Lord, when he was arrested in the garden and brought before the Sanhedrin, the council of the Jewish people that judged cases, the leaders, he was asked by Caiaphas, the high priest, if he were the Son of God. And our Lord said, "Yes, I am." But then he went on to say, "From henceforth, you will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with great power and majesty." And he told them that as a warning, more or less to say, be very careful about what you are going to do. I know you want to condemn me, but you better think twice of what you are taking upon your conscience, upon your soul. And also, when our Lord ascended into heaven, and the apostles were gazing at this magnificent sight of the clouds taking our Lord up into heaven, there were two men that stood by them, two angels. And they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up to heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken from you, will return in the same way as you have seen him going up into heaven." Imagine that magnificent sight of our Lord coming, seated on the clouds, coming down to judge all men. So our Lord gave us this gospel in order to inspire us to live in such a way that we will be on the right rather than on the left at that time, at the judgment. We don't know when it will take place. Our Lord said not even the angels know when this will happen. Not even the angels, only the Father, he said. In other words, only God knows when the end of the world will happen. So be very wary of those who will try to predict exactly when this will happen or that will happen. It is very vain and indeed foolish to try to guess or determine when the world will end. It could be many centuries hence. What we do know is that for each of us individually, our days are numbered. Some will have a longer life, some will have a shorter life. But the important thing is that when the end of our life comes, we are found to be in the state of sanctifying grace. Death is something we should think of all the time, not in a morbid way, but because death, the moment of death, is the most important moment of your life. It is the most important day of your life, the day on which you leave this world to go into eternity. Because, as I said, the state of our soul at that moment will determine the place of our eternity. So let us be inspired by these words of our Lord today in the Gospel to live in such a way that at that great day of the general judgment, we will be found among the blessed, and we will hear those wonderful words, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, into the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.